Up the first case on the docket, which is case 7145. This is an application of Lyco Operating for an order establishing a 320-acre temporary spacing for the development of an oil and or gas pool in the Interlake Formation underlying the southeast quarter, section 24, and the northeast quarter, section 25, 161 north, range 99 west, Divide County. All parties interested in case 7145, please come forward.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. My name is John Lee, attorney, P.O. Box 1206, Wilson, North Dakota, appearing in this matter on behalf of Lyco Operating Company. I've got one witness with me this morning that needs to be sworn.
Please raise your right hand. Do you promise to tell the truth in this hearing?
I do.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Carvel. I would just like to state as a prefatory matter, since we are seeking authority to establish temporary spacing crossing a section line attached to the back of your exhibit packets, are pooling agreements executed by each of the mineral interest owners in the area subject to the application, signifying that they have in fact voluntarily pooled this acreage. And although we do not intend to introduce these as an exhibit, I did want to make them part of the record, or at least have them available for your review. They are identical to the pooling agreements that were previously introduced with respect to the Red River Formation underlying these lands. The land information this morning I would like to put in by way of affidavit. If you could flip over the cover page on the exhibit packet, the first item in there is the affidavit of Jim Heink, who is a landman with Lyco Operating Company. Mr. Heink has not previously testified before this Industrial Commission in the capacity of an expert in the field of petroleum land management, so therefore attached to his affidavit is an Exhibit A, which summarizes his qualifications. A brief look at that exhibit will indicate that he's been practicing in the field of petroleum land management in various capacities with various companies since 1975 on to present. And I would request that based upon his affidavit and the exhibit attached thereto, that the two exhibits that were prepared by him be accepted as prepared by an expert in the field of petroleum land management.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. Turning next to Exhibit A1, you will find a land plat, which basically depicts the area which are the lands subject to this application, which are the southeast quarter of section 24 and the northeast quarter of section 25 and township 161 north, range 99 west. The unit boundaries are depicted in there, as well as the approximate location of the Lundquist 25-2 well, along with a listing of the mineral and lease owners in those two quarter sections. Principal information to be gleaned from this exhibit is that the working interest ownership is common throughout the area sought to be spaced, and the mineral interest ownership is common with respect to the southeast quarter of section 24 and common as amongst those owners in the northeast quarter of section 25. Attached next as Exhibit A2 is merely a listing of the lease owners and mineral interest owners, a little bit more complete information than that set forth on the plat. These two items were prepared by Mr. Heink according to his affidavit and true and correct to the best of his knowledge, and I would ask that they be accepted in evidence this morning.
Exhibits are accepted.
That's really all the testimony we intend to put in with respect to land matters. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to respond to those.
Any questions of John? Next witness.
Thank you, Mr. Examiner. My next and only witness is Mr. Roger Borchert, a consulting geologist. Roger, could you state and spell your name for the record, please?
Roger N. Borchert, B-O-R-C-H-E-R-T.
And could you give your business address, please?
1937 East Capitol Avenue, Bismarck, North Dakota.
And you've been retained by Lyco Operating Company as a consultant in this matter, Mr. Borchert?
Yes.
And it's my understanding you previously testified before this commission in the capacity of a consulting geologist and also have previously testified with respect to engineering matters?
Yes.
I'd ask that Mr. Borchert's qualifications again be accepted, Mr. Examiner.
They are accepted.
Roger, could you briefly identify the exhibits with you today that you intend to sponsor in support of the application?
Exhibit number two consisting of two pages titled Well Data. Exhibit number three, which is geologic data consisting of four pages. And then exhibit number four, gas flaring data consisting of five pages.
Okay. And Roger, these were either prepared by you or under your supervision and control?
Yes.
Although the geologic exhibits, did you identify a G1 and G2, Roger?
No, just a general lumping of geologic exhibits.
Okay.
G1 is a 3D seismic time structure map, and G2 is a cross section.
And those two exhibits were actually prepared by Mike Lewis of LICO?
Yes.
But you've had an opportunity to discuss those exhibits with Mike and are satisfied as to the truthfulness of the data set forth on those exhibits?
Yes.
I'd request that the exhibits identified by Mr. Borchert be accepted in evidence, Mr. Examiner.
They will be accepted.
Let's go back through the exhibits in a little bit more detail now, Roger, if you would, please.
Yes. Exhibit number two is a well data sheet, and this contains pertinent data concerning this well. The operator of the well is LICO Operating Company from Dallas, Texas. They're requesting a 320-acre spacing unit to consist of the southeast quarter of 24, northeast quarter of 25, and Township 161 North, Range 99 West of Hyde County, North Dakota. They're also requesting a 660-foot setback from the spacing unit boundary and an inner well distance of 1,980 feet. They're requesting that the inner lake formation be spaced on this well, and the spacing interval they're requesting is from the top of the inner lake formation to the base of the inner lake formation, or whatever distance that the commission deems relevant. And again, we're asking that the area to be spaced consists of the southeast quarter, section 24, northeast quarter of 25, and 161-99. The discovery well for this new pool is the LICO Operating Company Lundquist number 25-2. It's located 120 feet from the north line and 1,680 feet from the east line of the northeast quarter, section 25, 161-99. It had 1,644 feet of 9 5/8-inch surface casing set in it, and 5 1/2-inch production case set to 11,670 feet. Currently has approximately 10,400 feet of 2 7/8-inch tubing in it. Now the formation, reservoir itself is a structural trap with a datum, subsea datum of minus 8323, and this datum was picked at the top of the perforations in the inner lake. It has initial reservoir pressure of 4,940 pounds. The oil gravity in the inner lake is 45 API and has a GOR of 158 cubic feet per barrel. Reservoir temperature, as determined through drill stem test, is 223 degrees Fahrenheit, and they believe there's 37 feet of gross pay here. The average porosity calculated from logs is 14% with an estimated SW of 25%. The drive mechanism in this reservoir is a solution glass and a water drive. Resistivity of the produced water is 0.51 at 57 degrees or 67 degrees Fahrenheit and 200,000 parts chlorides. The formation volume factor for the reservoir is 1.2. The perforated interval in the discovery well is gross interval from 10,440 to 10,468. The well initialed at 240 barrels of oil per day, no water, and 38 MCF of gas. It's currently making 140 barrels of oil, 103 barrels of water, and 23 MCF of gas at a flowing tubing pressure of 200 pounds. The well is currently flowing. The well has cummed through the 11th of October 24,500 barrels from the inner lake formation, 3,400 barrels of water, and approximately 3,800 MCF of gas. The oil is being sold to Murphy Oil Company. The water is being trucked to an approved saltwater disposal near Ambrose Field, and the gas is currently being flared. complete suite of electric logs is run on the well, resistivity, porosity, sonic, and a cement bond log, and all these logs are on file with the commission. LICO estimates that there's that the original oil in place for this field was 2.5 million barrels. The productive area for the field is approximately 101 acres. There's an estimated oil recovery of 415,000 barrels of oil, approximately 65,000 MCF of gas for this reservoir. The development costs were approximately $1.1 million, giving a rate of return for this discovery of 4.2 to 1.
Let's turn now to your Exhibit 3, Roger, if you could.
Exhibit 3 is a plat with a fair amount of data on it. Basically shows the area that's being requested to be spaced. There's a list of the mineral and lease owners for each of the two corridor sections. The approximate outline of the geophysical anomaly that's producing, and then the drill stem test information. Of importance on the drill stem test information is they tested a gross interval from 10456 to 10529. The well actually flowed oil to surface, but they, you know, once the gas breaks out and everything, they listed a recovery of 6,000 feet of oil. 2,650 feet of water. They had oil to surface in 25 minutes. Sampler contained 1,200 cc's of oil and 1,000 cc's of water, and had a flowing pressure of 4840 and a shut-in pressure, because it flowed oil to surface, of 4840. The second attachment to this exhibit is a well bore diagram. This well was originally drilled to the Red River. And casing was set to TD, and it was initially completed in the Red River. And so this basically, this diagram shows the a general outline of the casing design, where the surface was set, where the production casing was set, where the Red River's Red River interval was perforated, where the cast iron bridge plugs were placed, and the where the interlake was perforated. Also listed are some general some of the formation tops encountered in the well, from the starting with the Kibby Lime down to the Red River. The next attachment is a 3D seismic survey that was conducted prior to the drilling of the initial the drilling of the Lundquist 25-2. It shows a very tight, small geophysical anomaly that that's located in both sections 24 and 25. This was the justification for the drilling of the 25-2 well. Located also in section 25 is a dry hole, which is the Columbia Gas Lundquist 25-1. This well is only approximately 900 feet from the 25-2. So basically you can see that we're dealing with a relatively small, relatively tight geophysical structure here. The last attachment is a cross section. It's between the two wells in section 25, the LICO Lundquist 25-2 and the Columbia Gas Lundquist 25-1. What's shown on this cross section is the base of the Acheron Shale, the top of the Interlake Formation, and a couple of correlation points in between. What it really gleaned from this structure, this cross section, is that we're dealing with a fairly small structure that has some fair relief to it, 37 feet of relief.
Before we turn to the last couple of exhibits, Roger, maybe I could ask a couple questions, and that is, it appears from the testimony you've given so far that we're talking about a single well feature, and that this anomaly will not support an additional well.
That's correct.
And the existing well is capable of efficiently and economically draining the recoverable reserves from the interlake underlying the proposed temporary spacing unit?
Yes.
Let's go on now to the gas flaring data.
The last exhibit with a number of attachments is the gas flaring data. LICO contacted Amerada Hess about purchasing this gas from this well. And they were initially given a gas price of 53 cents an MCF. Amerada and whoever they contracted determined that it would cost approximately $57,000 to run a line to collect this gas. There's put a chart up and determined measured the gas on this thing and determined that there's approximately 31 MCF of gas saleable, gas available. Four MCF of this gas is being used on location to fire the treater. From their tests, they determined that the GOR on the reservoir is 158 cubic feet per barrel of oil, and that the BTU content of the gas produced is 1567. So it's the 53 cent price was based on 1,000 BTU gas.
Roger, so, I must have missed something. How did Amerada Hess get involved here?
They contacted Amerada Hess because they own the gas plant at Tioga. Because of the high BTU gas, the adjustment therefore would they would pay 83 cents an MCF for it. Ultimate gas reserves were determined to be 58,000 MCF, which would have a sale value of about $48,000. So if LICO hooked this well up, they would lose approximately $9,000 in the process. Now this is supported by the next exhibit, which is a volumetric analysis of the reservoir. The important things are the average porosity of the reservoir is 14%, the conate water saturation is 25%, formation volume factor of 1.2 and cubic feet per barrel, the GOR of 158. LICO estimates that they're going to recover about 16.36% of the available oil in this reservoir. The reservoir thickness is 37 feet. Therefore, you run this through a volumetric calculation, you come up with original oil in place of 2.5 million barrels, recoverable oil of 415,000 stock tank barrels, recoverable solution gas of 65,000 MCF, with about 11% of it being used on location to fire the treater and other equipment, leaving available gas for sale of 58,000 MCF. The next attachment is the chart measurements they use to determine the available gas on a daily basis for this well, what's being produced each day. The next attachment is a gas analysis that was performed by Amerada Hess, and it shows down there sort of about two-thirds of the way down the BTU content of the gas plus the other constituents within the gas. And then Amerada ran this test gas result sheet to determine what's going to be available for sale. The bottom line is on this is that this is an undersaturated gas reservoir. There's not a lot of gas available for sale, and the cost of hooking up this well to a pipeline would exceed the value of the gas that the well would produce. So it's an uneconomic venture to connect this well to an existing pipeline, and LICO's requesting that they be granted a gas flaring exemption.
Roger, just a couple of questions. With respect to, does LICO have any additional plans for drilling or anything that they intend to do with that existing dry hole down in to the southeast of the existing well?
Yes, they're contemplating reentering this well and completing it as a saltwater disposal facility.
And do they have any perhaps intentions at some future point in time of commingling Red River production that's still behind pipe with the interlake?
At some time in the future.
But no presently existing plans, as far as you know?
No.
Roger, based on the information and data which you reviewed today in connection with this application, is it your opinion that granting the application as submitted and granting a temporary spacing unit comprised of the southeast corridor of Section 24 and northeast corridor of Section 25 in Township 161 North, Range 99 West, would be in the best interest of conservation, prevent waste, and protect relative rights?
Yes.
I have no further questions of the witness at this time, Mr. Examiner.
Any questions from the staff?
Roger, on the reservoir parameters that you listed, did you have a chance to talk to LICO about some particulars? Like, what I was wondering about is, like, they've given a water saturation at 25%. Do you know what they use for an RW or on that? Or have you talked to them about that?
You know, I didn't ask on what they use for an RW. I use anywhere from a 0.015 to 0.018 in this area.
Do you know if this zone is fractured at all? If you look at the logs, just doing straight log calculations, you come up with some pretty pessimistic water saturation values. And I was wondering if they probably adjusted the cementation factor.
Well, they may have. We discussed permeabilities particularly because if you'll notice, there is no number listing permeability. And the big problem they had up is that when you start running calculations, and you end up with an infinite permeability, 27,000. And now how do you end up with that? And the only way we could come up with that kind of thing is either having huge holes down there or it's pretty fractured. And obviously, you wouldn't see that. That wouldn't be distinguished very well on the logs. Now, the logs are obviously pretty pessimistic, but that's sort of typical of the interlake formation. It doesn't calculate well. It's probably heavily fractured, and you don't really see that on logs. And the nature of the rock itself, it's dolomite. And it just doesn't calculate well. I mean, the logs just, for the interlake anywhere look terribly poor. And we had a long discussion about this. And basically, if you just add the logs on quite a number of these interlake wells to look at, you might consider plugging them based just on the logs and no other data available.
Does that kind of run with the porosity logs too? They don't really represent or... by looking at the porosity log, it doesn't really look like it has as much as 14% porosity in it. So are you saying that that's kind of true with the porosity logs, too?
Yes. We don't think the logs are representative of the reservoir quality.
Okay. All right.
We think the drill stem test data is obviously more representative of what we've got here.
Roger, we typically space these interlake pools from the top of the interlake to the top of the Cedar Lake, and we call this the Silurian pool. Do you have any objections to that?
No.
And you indicated the well's still flowing. What choke size are you on?
You know, I had that data, but I left it in the office. I don't have. I've got the data. It's available in my office, but I didn't bring it with me.
Do you know if it's the same size choke that it was IP'd on?
I do not know that.
Okay.
I can provide that information if you want it.
You could contact our office to see if we need it.
Okay.
If we've got additional information that we need, you could notify at that time. You said that currently you're flaring the gas. How far are you from the nearest gas line?
The nearest gas line is on the Nessunanuck line, and I would say we're approximately three and a half townships. That'd be over 95 or 96. We're in 99.
Okay. And you also indicated that you might commingle with the Red River down the road. Did you do any calculations on the recoverable gas from the Red River? Is there going to be any significant additional reserve there?
I have not done the calculations.
And do you know what the last production was on the Red River? Had it been drilled out or completed and produced down to an economic limit, or?
Bruce, I think the last time when we came in to temporarily space the Red River, we were down somewhere around 85 barrels a day, and I'm guessing it had dropped off somewhat from there. And it was not long after that that they made the determination, rather than drilling a twin down to the interlake, which was the subject of yet another exception location, they just simply did the recompletion. I can't tell you exact reserves that they've plugged off downhole, though.
Okay. Well, we would want to know the additional reserves that would be attributable to the Red River, because if it's economic after you start commingling, then the project should be installed. You know, you should connect it to a gas line. The Amerada analysis, did it take into consideration any other possible phases?
I don't believe so, Bruce. And frankly, the gas flaring exemption came as a bit of surprise to me. We had not made application nor, I believe, advertised for the flaring exemption, and that was something that came up at the 11th hour to hopefully incorporate into the order. If the commission could leave the record open, I could furnish the data on the Red River and see if it would make any difference in your determination.
And the 3D shoot that you did, was this just a square mile is all that was shot?
I'm not sure the extent of the 3D shoot. This is one of the items that popped up on, you know, on the interpretation, but I don't know how big that shoot was.
Okay. And is this GOR typical of other Silurian reservoirs, a very low GOR like this?
No, I think it's relatively low. Most Silurian reservoirs that I'm familiar with are closer to 1,000 to 1.
And are there any other Silurian pools in this immediate area here?
Not that I'm aware of. I think you got to get onto the Anticline over by North Tioga Field.
Okay, thank you.
Roger, just to follow up on one question that Jim was talking about earlier, did you mention what they used for a cementation exponent here to calculate your water saturation?
No, I didn't.
You don't know what they used?
No, I don't.
Bruce, did you want that additional information on the Red River?
Yes, we would want the additional revenue that would be provided by the Red River gas.
Okay, we'll leave the record open for a week. Can you get it to us by then, John?
Yeah, very good.
Okay, we'll leave the record open for a week to get that additional information. Any other questions of Roger? And we'll also have to address the advertising issue in our decision. Anything else on the case, John?
No, thank you, Mr. Examiner.
Okay, that concludes the hearing, case 7145.